Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Happy Friday to everybody. Week 25 of 50, halfway home. The session plus scoreboard check, part 2. It's around 11 p.m. on Friday, June 18th, 2021. I played a couple hours of poker. You heard about that yesterday. Then I took a 5-hour break, which is a solid break in the middle of a poker session, in my humble opinion. I went to dinner at Palace Station and not at the Oyster Bar. I know that's a favorite spot for a lot of people, but I can't wait in that line. And then I came back to the Venetian and I chilled at the video poker bar facing the sportsbook for a few hours. I grinded some Deuces Wild video poker and I watched sports. I watched the Jazz implode against the Clippers. They were winning by 20-something at half at home and they lost by like 10. And I had the Jazz on this night, but it didn't tilt me too much. I just found it too interesting. It made me wonder if this choking huge leads thing, the 76ers did it recently too. It made me wonder if it's a generational thing. Like, kids are being raised better these days, and therefore they're more well-adjusted. And, you know, that's awesome, of course. But I'm wondering if it makes them more susceptible to pressure, you know, less of the stone cold killers of the past. I don't know. Maybe. I also watched the LA Sparks have no spark on this night, and I had money on them too. Didn't really care though. It was just kind of nice to chill at that video poker bar for a few hours, nursing the occasional cocktail, hitting some buttons, and, you know, watching all the games. And I was exhausted. I was beaten down. I was a man on the last night of his Vegas trip. I also watched the Canadians beat Las Vegas's beloved Golden Knights on this night. And I'm not a diehard Knights fan yet. I just don't know enough about hockey. So I haven't got hooked yet. And I actually fired a little on the Canadians on this night. So this outcome devastated many of those around me. But it was okay with me. Anyways, let's resume the session. It's going to be in a different 3-5 game in the Venetian Poker Room, a different table, and we're stuck about a life from the 2 hours we played before dinner. And let's see if we can rectify that in the 4 hours we're going to play after dinner, before this place closes at 3 a.m. So I was exhausted, as mentioned, and when I sat down, I got the 8 seat, and the 1 seat was someone I go way back with. Someone named Jackie from Commerce, and I didn't even say hi to him. I was just too tired, and I just kind of wanted to wait until we got into a pot. I don't know. Sometimes I do that. And I'm going to start right off with my worst play. And that's just not a great way to start the second half of your session off, but it's what went down. So I came in the cutoff and I folded every hand and now I'm the big blind. And this older guy who had just 3-bet and shown aces when whoever opened folded, he opens to $15. And when someone just got aces, it's like it's just a good time the next hand to go after him. Not because you think they can't have aces again, but they're just going to be more risk adverse. It's just human nature, I think. Well, so he opens to 15, and I have king jack of clubs, so I'm definitely going to play this hand. I'm in the big blind, and I think I'm just going to call preflop, and then if I'm going to do any bluffing, it's going to be after the flop, right? And that's a good plan, but another gentleman calls, and this guy reminds me of Tang, or Wu Tang, from Hawaiian Gardens, for any of you LA players, just a legend. Right, just so much heart, and Well, he looks like him, and he's got a similar vibe. He's a cool guy. He calls the older guys open to 15. And now I just feel like it's too weak for me to flat with King Jack of Clubs in the big blind. It's not. It's the exact right play. But I think maybe I was just being a little impatient because for several reasons. I'm stuck, and also it's my last night of the trip, and also I was playing much bigger the session before this one. And that's a session the Patron's heard about at the Bellagio. I just didn't have the energy to play big again on this night. So I 3-bet here, and this is it. This is the crux of the worst play. It's just a bad 3-bet. It just really is. I went to 80 in the opener. The older guy called, and Wu Tang's brother is what we'll call him. He folded, and it came 10-8x with two spades and a club. And so I bet $100. I'm gonna have to barrel here, most likely. Well, and why do I have to bet? Because I have to fold out ace high. So there's just such a huge difference between King Jack and Ace Jack, right? 3-betting Ace Jack is fine because you don't automatically have to bluff when you miss a flop. With King Jack, you automatically have to because you're in there against so many Ace X. It's a flat. And I ran bad because I bet 100 and he raised a 250 with $200 behind. So snap folded. He probably fucking flopped a set for all I know. But I ran bad, in the hand, but blowing it up pre-flop is just bad. It's just, King Jack suited's a good hand, and like if you're deep and in position, it's different, right? And we were not deep, and I was out of position, and the biggest problem with it is that when you don't flop anything, you have to bluff because you just can't let it get the showdown and lose the fucking ace 3 suited, right? And I don't know. So it was probably a flip pre-flop, and he flopped a set, seems like. And I don't know. Let's keep going. So you don't want to start out. It's not really starting out the session, because I started the session out running poorly for 2 hours before dinner. And then I took a nice 5-hour break. I think that's how you should do it. Play 2 hours, take a 5-hour break, come back. Well, worst play. It's okay. Let's move on. I get pocket fours in a four-way bloater. That's a good situation. And the flop came down. And that's okay. You're not going to flop a set every time you're in there with a little pocket pair in a great situation. You just need to flop a set sometimes. And thanks again to DJ Mellow D for helping me out. While Cinny is gone, and she's still gone, but she said she's going to come back as soon as 10 more of her items on PokerAgs are purchased. So if you go to PokerAgs.us and you just click on DGAF, you'll see Sinead O'Connor. That's my friend Cinny. You'll see her face, and it says nothing below. And she says when 10 more things are bought, she'll come back. And I think DJ Melody is ready to get back to L.A., But I appreciate him helping out. So, what do we got now? I have to fold pocket tens preflop. It's never fun. But I'm the small blind, and there's a solid player opens, and the chip shuffler is on the button, and he 3-bets. And it's just sometimes you'll have a good hand, but there's just no good path. And that's, remember during the election, people were talking about paths all the time. I just have no good path with pocket tens. And maybe if I was more rested, I could think of a good path with pocket tens in that spot. I just couldn't think of one. I thought the best one was to fold. And if you can't think of a good one, folding is the best one. But I didn't like flatting there. And I didn't like 4-betting with the stacks. And given who opened and given, it would be a solid pro type opens, and then a fairly aggressive pro 3-bets the button, and then what am I going to do with 10s in the small blind? We're not deep enough for me to 4-bet, nor do I think these guys are wide enough for me to automatically do that. And flatting is just, it's just going to take, a year off my life. So I decided not to do it and I folded. Okay. And now Jackie in the one seat does recognize me. And I was worried he wouldn't recognize me because I knew I was looking extra haggard on this night. And I've put on weight and my hair was kind of long. And I just, as mentioned in part one, I just look different when I'm in Vegas than I do in California. Cause it's a tough town, a great town, tough one. And anyways, he did recognize me and he's telling commerce war stories to the whole table. And now I was worried he wasn't going to recognize me. Now I'm worried that none of these players are ever going to fold to me. And it doesn't feel like one of those nights where I'm going to make a lot of hands. And that's irrational for it to feel one way or another, but it's also how it feels. And it's time for a worst play nominee. It didn't win the award of worst play, but it's a nominee. So I fold forever, especially after Jackie's telling everyone how big I used to play and how crazy I was in this and that and the other. And so now it's just, all right, I'm just going to fold. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to play solid like everyone else. And then I finally opened 9-7 of clubs. And Wu-Tang's brother defends. Okay. 9-7 of clubs in position against someone who plays kind of solid. Yeah. And it comes 10-5-4 with two clubs. And he checks, and I bet 20. I'd open to 15. I bet 20 here. He calls. Okay. I have a flush draw. And the turn is an ace of hearts. And he checks. And this is a really tough spot. If I'm playing well, I just check back and I bet the river and hopefully, he's savvy enough to know that people always c-bet the flop with nothing and they turn top pair and then they check and then they bet the river. That's what I usually do. Or I do often, but I just felt with all my equity here to bet the turn and I thought I'd put him in a tough spot and he called and then the river's a horrible card to barrel. It was a 10. And he checked, and I checked, and he won with pocket sixes. So I had two overcards and a flush draw, and I whiffed. But I don't really like the turn bet. That's a little impatient. Yeah, I have lots of equity, and some players will fold. But this guy's savvy, and he's got heart. And it's just, I don't know. I probably should have checked. And then on good cards, I would bet the river. Right? I also have 15 outs, but the dealer doesn't give a shit about that, obviously. But no, I could bet cards that aren't a 10 on the river for sure. I don't know. So it's not going so great. It didn't go so great before dinner, my 5-hour dinner break, and it's not going so well afterwards, and that's okay. And now I open King Queen of Clubs. Okay. Now all you tags out there, your ears just perked up. I know it. What? King Queen of Clubs? Okay, good. And yeah, well, unfortunately, the older guy, 3-bets to 50. I open to 15, he goes to 50. I'm calling. I'm out of position. I'm calling. This is a really good hand, in 2021 especially. Flop comes Jack 9-7 with a club. Not bad. I check, he bets 45. Okay, I have two overs, gut shot, backdoor, flush. And I call. And the turn's a Jack. And I check, and he checks. Okay, and I felt like some of his range was, you know, ace, he 3-bet, it could be ace, king, ace, queen, even though I blocked both of those. And just because you have one doesn't mean the other guy doesn't have one. When there's four of them, I think that's how that works. Anyways, Jack 9-7, I check call, he bets less than half, I check call. The turn's a Jack, check, check, and the river's an 8. So if he has ace, king, or ace, queen, he can't call. And I bet 75. I know my image is shit, but he can't call 75 with ace high. He goes to 280. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So I don't know what, maybe he had pocket eights, to be honest. I don't know, but obviously I folded. And then I wrote, I'm double fisted. That's what's going on. So you're not going to get a lot of people to fold when one guy at the table that is obviously well off is telling everyone at the table how big you guys used to play and how crazy you were. And you have a Jameson and Diet and a Heineken in front of you. So but I'm searching for equilibrium, which a man on the last night of his Vegas trip is just going to do sometimes, in my experience. And then I make a good fold against Jackie. I flopped pair and flush draw, and there were three hearts, and I had, it was 10-9-X. And I was in the button straddle with 9-something of, it was like 10-9-4 all hearts, and I had 9-3 offsuit, just button straddle. It's not my fault, it's dealer's fault. And so I had a pair and a flush draw, and the turn was an offsuit, and I bet, and he called, and the turn was an offsuit king, and he led, and I folded. And it's not the biggest fold in the world, but he showed queen jack of spades, I think. So he was in bad, you know, not horrible shape, but not good shape. And he got there and showed, and it's a good fold to not get sticky there. He obviously, you know, LA players have a lot of heart in general, and we both used to play much bigger. And well, I've been playing a little bit bigger, just not on this night, and I plan on playing much bigger again soon. And yeah, so it's not going well, but some nights are like that. And now the older man opens, and I get a read on this one that he's weak. I don't know what it was, something, right? And so I'm the big blind. I go to 90. I have 10-9 of clubs, and this is different than the king jack. Was spew. 10-9 is not spew because I know he's weak. Once you have a read, everything changes, right? And this would be fine with king jack too. But 10-9, it's fine. The flop comes ace jack jack, and he checks out of turn. And a lot of times in live poker, when someone checks out of turn, you're fucked. And that means they just flop something huge. He seems kind of sincere. I don't know yet. I'm checking. He checks. The turn is an X. I check. He checks. The river's an X. I bet 80, right? Just an amount where he's going to have to fold out his little pairs and whatever and his high cards, and he does. And I win a pot. Oh, my God. Confetti falls from the sky. I won one. And, you know, I didn't have anything. 10 high. So what? And now I have one of those. There are certain situations in live poker that suck, and this is one of them. I had 9-8 in position in a bloater, and it was 6-7 deuce. Fantastic flop, right? But it was clear to me on the flop that someone flopped a set, right? And so I just called on the flop, and it was three ways. And then the turn was a four, and the person that I felt flopped a set bombed, right? And you just have to fold 9-8 on 6-7 deuce four? Yeah, you do. And I don't know. It's just one of those things where if it's heads up and if they have an overpair or something, that's fine. Now everything's in play. But when you just know they're never folding and it's just, what are you going to do? Just call the turn with open-ender and your overcards don't mean shit. And it's going to be so obvious if you hit, right? It's going to be 7-6-4-5-4-5-6-7 or 10. It's just obvious, right? So you got to fold. And I wrote, me can't win a hand. That's not the best grammar. And Jackie is still reminiscing about me sitting deep and just fucking ruining people's lives. And I was like, you know what they say, man. The times change. And now I'm in this game and I can't win one hand. That's not true. I won that one hand with 10 high where I just checked and flop and turn and bet small on the river and folded out probably better high card or a little pair. But and I've been doing well lately. I've been running fine plus, I would say. So, but you know, every session feels like a new one. That might be the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life. Every session feels like a new one. I don't know. Forgive me. I have ace three of clubs. I have to fold preflop. Same thing. Solid player opens and the chip shuffler on my right, three bets. And I'm in the small blind. Let it go. Now I have 8-5 of clubs, and now the solid guy opens and I get a read on him that it's one of his weaker opens, and Wu Tang's brother calls, and now I just go kind of big with 8-5 offsuit. It's just going to work, and it works. I win $30. I need it. I fucking need $30. Okay. Now the chip shuffler punts it off to Jackie. He's not a good candidate to bluff. He's rich. He's played much bigger and he plays in LA, right? Well, then he coolers him and gets it all back. It's a nice bailout. He gets kings. Jackie has ace, queen, and the chip shuffler from previous sessions. He's a cool pro, foreign pro, and he shuffles chips a lot, right? And now he has kings on queen 5-5 two-tone. Against ace queen, you're going to get all the money after you punted it off a little bit. And I wrote, I could use a bailout because I'm stuck nice right now. And it's okay. I'm button straddle. 9-6 of spades. And some people limp and I check and it comes king 4 deuce. Not a spade in sight, but they checked to me. They seem like they have nothing. I toss out $20 and I win the pot. Let me take a sip of coffee. Okay. So, remember I had pocket fours in that bloater? I think it was a four-way bloater. Well, and I flopped nothing, remember? Well, now I have pocket threes in a three-way bloater. And just sometimes you need to flop a set. And then that's going to make your whole session. Well, this flop came down. Two. And that's okay. Now, the next hand that I'm in, I flop open-ended with two overcards again. But again, I have no fold equity. This time I'm not getting bet out of the pot. So I get to see the, you know, well, you're always going to see the turn card, but I also get to see the river card. And, you know, just in a nice bloater, but this one, I didn't get blown out of the water. So I got to see the river. And fucking, you know, this river was... Also, and that's okay. You're not always going to bink. It's time for my best play. It's not as patriotic as my best play from part one, but I think it's a good play. It's just a solid play, and it's just something where I think we can easily fuck this up. And here's what happens. I open to $15 with Jack 10 of spades, and the older guy goes to 50. So this motherfucker has a subscription to one of those trading sites. He just 3-bets a lot. And I call. And I have Jack 10 of spades. And the flop comes queen, queen, 7, 2 hearts, 1 spade. Not the best flop, but there's a spade out there and a queen. I have Jack 10. I check and he checks. Okay, I think he doesn't seem like he has much, right? And the turn is a jack of hearts, so it completes the flush, right? And I do believe it's easy to check this. I think when we open and someone 3-bets and we call and it comes queen, queen, 7, we have jack, 10, and it goes check, check. The turn's a jack. We have a bluff catcher. It's easy to just check here and call, obviously, if they bet. But a bet is just so much better because there are 3 hearts out there and you got to deny equity. You got to charge draws and... And yeah, it's time to get some value. You just binked, and I bet 70, right? And it's not, this isn't fucking genius by any stretch, but it's easy to fuck this up. It's so easy to check this turn, and then you're like, why did I just check? There's 3 hearts out there, and like, I'm just going to give him a free card to his gut shots and his flush draws and all that shit. Bet 70, right? And then the river is a 9. Oh, he called. The river's a 9. And so it's queen, queen, 7, 2 hearts, 1 spade, turn, jack of hearts, flush gets there. I bet 70 because I have a jack, jack 10, and the river's an offsuit 9, and I bet 30. Why? Because I don't think he has anything. I think he has ace high, but he's just not folding $30 to me. He's an older guy. He's been around. That's redundant, right? But I guess it's not redundant. Older guy been around because you could be in a bubble your whole life, but... You know, he's just not folding $30 to me with ace high. And so I got max value on this hand. He called, my hand was good. Yeah. And now sometimes there is momentum in poker, right? And so I get pocket pocket twos in a four-way bloater. And this flop comes down. So yeah, sometimes there is momentum in poker and sometimes there isn't. If that makes sense. All right. I call. It's cool, man. You can take a break. You can go ahead. I got some. You saw that I bought some new beers and I put them in the produce drawer in the fridge. You spotted that? Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. So DJ Melody needs a break. Yeah, I guess it gets tiring with the turntables and whatnot. But anyways, so I better start hitting some flops, or I better figure out another way to tell you when I don't. All right. I call $25 more from the big blind with 8-6 of hearts. There are two limpers, and someone goes to $30, and I'm the big blind, and this is a fold, but I don't care. I know if I call 25 more, it's going to be four ways, and I'm going to be out of position four ways with 8-6 of hearts, and it's close enough to a suited connector. It's suited, and it's just a one gapper. It's stuck poker. I'm going to call and set off the domino effect, right? Where two people limped and someone went to 30 and they have a good hand, right? And so if I fold, they're probably going to fold. But if I call 25 more, they're going to call, and then we're going to have $120 in there. And I'm going to have a good cracker type hand, as they say. And I don't know. It's stuck poker. If you're not stuck, you just fold. But I'm stuck. And so, but I call, and it is a four-way pot. So we got a four-way pot. I got 8-6 of hearts. And Nadia Comaneci was a gymnast that I wrote a report about when I was a kid for some reason. Okay, the next note is I call $100 three ways with pocket sixes. This is dealer, flop me a set and get me out of jail. Give me, if I flop a set, I'm winning. I'm at least doubling up, maybe tripling up. Well, it came 10, 5 deuce. And the person who had made it 100 was wearing an N95 mask. And they bet on 10-5 deuce, and I just folded my sixes. Okay. And the fucking music at the Venetian is something else. They play like little kid music, and on this night, they went from Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman, straight to Dr. Dre, Forgot About Dre. And I feel like there's a DJ at the Venetian, and he or she is gaslighting me. So when I'm really tired, I'm extra sensitive to stuff, and that's the case here. And, you know, I like Dr. Dre. Shania Twain seems like an angel, but I don't want to hear that song. I don't want to hear it when I'm playing poker. I just don't. I don't know if that's wrong. But I know what's right is having a good hand. Well, not a good hand, but a playable hand, borderline playable hand, in a five-way bloater. 10-7 of clubs, in position. And I once watched a movie called Notting Hill. Okay. And this sound guy, this hand's for you, buddy. I have pocket kings. And I open to $15. And it's six ways. Okay. Sure. Well, the flop comes 8-6, all spades. And I have the king of spades. And I just check here. I will check raise many of the people if they bet. A lot of things will tell me what to do. Most of the players are behind me. Like four of them are behind and one is on my right. So I opened early, maybe under the gun, kings. And four people called and then someone on the blinds called. Right? And I check on 8-6 deuce, all spades. I have two kings with a king of spades. And everyone checks. Okay? And the turn's an offsuit four. Okay, and so if it was 15-6 ways, that's $90, right? And the turn's an offsuit four, and now I bet 60, right? And that's two-thirds. And only Lady Gaga calls. And yeah, she was in her game. She had a mask on. She smiled a lot with her eyes. She seemed super nice. So I don't know a lot of her music, but I know one of her songs is called Poker Face. So that's kind of interesting. And anyways, Lady Gaga calls my 60. And the river is an offsuit queen. And I'm the guy, you know, who no one can fold to. So, I always got to go for value, especially with an overpair, right? And I bet $100. I open under the gun for $15. And four people called, including Lady Gaga. And she's wearing a mask, so she doesn't even need a poker face. Right, and then someone in the blinds, and it came 8-6 deuce all spades. I have two kings with king of spades. We all checked. I could bet here, but I'm happy to check. And then the turn is a red four, a four of hearts, and now I bet two-thirds. I'm the Mr. Bluffer guy, and only Lady Gaga calls, and she's got a poker face, but she also has a mask on, so that's redundant, isn't it? And The river is an offsuit queen. It's a good card for me to try and get value on. I bet $100 and she makes it $250. Mother. I'm not going to say mother. I'll just say mother. I don't know if Lady Gaga is a mother. I don't think she is. But anyways, what the fuck? This is how the session's going. You're getting raised all the time. And it's not like the whole, you know, player pool just started getting aggro this session. It's just you're running into it. And I make a very disciplined fold. I think it's pretty disciplined. It's only 150 more. There was 90. We each put in 60. That is what? That's 210, I think. Yeah. And then I just put in 100, 310. And then she put in 250, 560. It's 150 to win 560. You could easily talk yourself into calling here, right? Against Lady Gaga. She's got a lot of money. She's a great singer. And she's got a good poker face. So you can't get a read on her. Plus, she has a mask on. And I just decide on fold. I don't think this is a bluff or a worse hand. Well, it's just never a worse hand. But I don't think it's a bluff enough, even though I'm getting an amazing price. 150 to win whatever I said, 560. And Lady Gaga is a nice person. And she shows she had ace three of spades. So she flopped the joint. And I'm happy with my flop check. Six ways is sketch. And I'm happy with my turn bet. And I'm happy with my bet full on the river. But I also think that if I was locked, I would limp that hand under the gun. Because this game was very multi-way, right? And so you open kings and you get five callers. Well, you're a dog to win. Whereas if you limp, so what? If they all limp, who gives a shit? You're under rep, you can win. But you can also limp re-raise if someone just raises. And then you get to play a heads up or win the pot pre. I think if I'm locked, I just would have... Like, as the three red birds were leaving my hand preflop, I felt like maybe there was a better path. Or not a better, you know, a better line to take. I don't know. But either way, I'm not running so hot. And it's interesting. Some sessions are just like that, where everything goes wrong. And some sessions are everything goes right, or most things go right. I don't know. But I have 6-5 of hearts and a three-way bloater, and you can just guess what I flopped. I don't need to say it or have anyone help me or use any cheesy fucking, you know, references. But 6-5 of hearts and a three-way bloater. Okay. The next note is steal from the unfunny drunk guy. So gentleman sat down. He'd been overserved. It's certainly not his fault. And he had that comedian vibe, like trying to like say funny stuff here and there. And I don't know if it was people being polite at the table or they did find it funny. They were laughing. I didn't find it funny, but I also don't find most comedians funny, right? So other people thought he's funny. I didn't think he was funny. Call him an unfunny drunk guy and whatever. I stole from him. He didn't get up like and do a bit, you know, like grab the mic and start walking around the table and I grabbed some of his chips. No, I could tell he didn't want to play for it and I wanted to play for it and I stole. And now the dealer, something happened in a hand, and the dealer's talking about, oh, two guys flopped two pair, and they ended up getting all in. The old guy got it all in with queen eight on queen 10 eight against queen 10. And so the old guy just had enough, right, of this night. And the dealer's talking about people overvaluing their hands. He's saying this shit out loud, and he's not running the game, and he's a nice guy. So isn't that great? He's doing everything you shouldn't do, but he's also a nice guy. And then I finally went a pot when I stole from the unfunny drunk guy, and he doesn't push it to me because he doesn't know where the pot goes, because me and the unfunny drunk guy got rid of our cards after the hand was over, and he's commenting on the game, and he's a nice guy. Isn't that human? And now I get string fucked by the unfunny drunk guy. And what does that mean? It means someone opened a 15 and the unfunny drunk guy string raised, and not on purpose, just because he'd been overserved, which is not his fault at all. And I called the 15, not realizing, not seeing him string raised to like, you know, 60 or something. So I just had to put $15 in there and fold, and that's the best. That is just the absolute best. And I have a 6-5, and I call, I'm the straddle with 6-5. And Adam Ant opens to 40. And who's Adam Ant? It's another singer from my growing up. Not Lady Gaga's current. Adam Ant is from my... It was on MTV when I was a kid. Well, this guy just said he had ants in his pants. And he did. He was very hyper. He was drinking. I liked him. But he opened to 40. And I defended 30 more with 6'5 from the straddle because, you know, it's fine. He can blow up and... He's a bluffer and all that, right? Flop comes very good for me. 6-4 deuce. I check. He bets 50. I make another stuck running bad play. I check raise to 125. It's not the end of the world to check raise with 6-5 on 6-4 deuce, but there are better paths, right? Like calling is better probably than going to 125. Fucking, he has three. If he calls 125, oh no, he has plenty. Never mind. So. Calling is probably best, but I don't know. You just, when you can't win a hand, you just feel like, oh, the turn's gonna fuck me. And I went to 125 and he thought for a bit and called. I have top pair and gotcha. I could just win, right? The turn's a queen. I check and I'm calling if he bets. And he thinks for a bit and checks. So I think I probably have the best hand. The river's an ace. Okay, I check. He bets and I fold. And I almost called the river, but then I remembered no one bluffs except for me. And then I flop a set. I pocket jacks, and I flop a set on queen, jack, 4, two-tone. And I check-raise this really cool, smart, young, successful Asian dude. You can just tell all this about him, right? And I check-raise, and he calls. So I got him on the hook, right? Because I'm the guy who bluffs all the time. I got him on the hook. It's queen, jack, 4, two-tone. And I think he has a queen or a flush draw because he calls my check-raise. I have jacks. And the turn is a spade. There are two spades. Turn's a spade. Sucks. I got to check here. And I check and he checks. And of course I can bet the river and get value. Well, the river's another spade. And I check and he checks. And my hand wins. Flopped set. But I didn't get anything after the flop. And so that's good news, bad news. Right? And could be worse. Still ran good in the hand. Could have ran a lot. If the turn's a brick, the guy's not folding. Right? And yeah, whatever. And now we're shorthanded. And now I open 9-6 of clubs. And this guy calls, this young, successful, cool Asian dude calls out of position. And I have 9-6, it comes 6-6-4. And I bet, and he calls, turns a deuce. I bet, and he calls. And I have trips. And the river's an ace, and he checks. And I bet again, and he calls, and he has King-6 offsuit. So, trips against trips. Not much you can do there. Just not a lot you can do there. And then it's my straddle, my under the gun straddle, and it folds around to the unfunny drunk guy, and he shows Jack 9 of hearts and folds it face up in the big blind. So he doesn't want any trouble. You know, I think he wants trouble, and I don't think he's scared of trouble in real life, but that's a tight fold. And now a new guy sits down and he says, man, this game's so small compared to my home game with all these Asians. He's sitting next to some Asian dude. He's with all these Asians. I'm like, what the fuck? And he buys in for $500. Of course he does. You're allowed to buy in for $1,200. And he's just talking about how small the game is. And he buys in for $500. You just gotta love it, right? And the unfunny asks him, well, then why are you playing this game? Which is kind of funny. And when people ask me that, when they see me playing, like, you know, Venetian, I'll just say, like, I'm Busto. Or I'll say, I'm super tired. I can't risk playing against anyone good. I'll just tell the truth. I don't know. But it's an interesting vibe at the table. The chip shuffler is a pro from somewhere else. He's pretty cool. And the Asian dude seems really cool. And these guys, the new guy and the unfunny drunk guy are a little bit older than me, I'd say. And they're just, you know, middle-aged dudes in America. Like, yeah, they're both, I think, like, in a few years, I'll want to get in shape, or probably hopefully before that. They're already there, right? Like, work on their bodies and all that. I've never done that, but I see why people do. You want that vitality, if that's the right word. And I don't know. But I straddle, and now the new guy limps in the small blind, and the unfunny drunk guy completes in the big blind, and I have 90 soft suit, and I take my knuckles and I slam them into the felt. No, I don't. I just check. And I have 90 soft suit, and that's not a good hand. Flop comes queen, jack, 5, though. So there you have it. And the new guy checks, unfunny drunk guy checks, I check. The turn's a deuce, gives me a pair. And now the new guy leads $15 and the unfunny drunk guy calls. Okay, well, I just turned a pair. I can't call here, but I do like to raise in these spots a lot because I could have just turned two pair. And if I get called, I have equity, right? And I go to 100 and the new guy like looks at me and thinks and folds. I know he's going to fold. Unfunny guy calls the 100. Okay, so he might have ace, queen. He might have like crazy hand like kings. He might have just a big draw, right? But I don't think he has like, he's not the type, he just has a good hand. Like, he has a good hand, solid. So I'm fucked. I bottom pair. It's queen, jack, five, deuce. And I made it 100, and he called. Okay, I'm done. The river's a nine. Oh, so now I got two pair. And he checks. Oh, I bet 175. Let's see how ace, queen does now. And he calls, and he has queen, jack. So he flopped top two, and I made runner, runner, two pair. It's when the dealer's working against you, you can't do much in poker. And he had just played a hand really horribly against the chip shuffler and got there. And I don't know. It's just an unfortunate situation. And when I turn over my hand, the new guy goes, so lucky. And I lost. He didn't do that. And then he goes, oh, that's funny. And he goes, I knew he had shit. So I'm sitting there and he's telling this guy that he knew I had shit. I knew he had shit. He goes, I just didn't have enough to call. Oh, my God. Isn't that, like, the best? I knew you had shit. I just didn't have enough to call. Well, no shit. I always have shit, and I always know you guys don't have enough to call. It's fine. It was funny. And now I'm open-ended, and I flop open-ended again. And the dealer builds an outdoor fireplace in the middle of the table. Now the vlog watcher gets in our game. And the guy with the N95 is gone. He won all the money, and it's good. He was most protected from... N95 is the only way you're going to protect yourself from that virus. But anyways, the vlog watcher's in. Oh, man. This is not going well. And unfunny drunk guy's taking pictures of his stack. It's great. He's like, you know, he's got a nice stack now. And he's messaging on his phone with some piece of tail, as he calls it. And he's showing pictures to the new guy. And they're both about 50, whatever. And they're exchanging, you know, they both got hot young girlfriends and they're showing, it's just great, man. And the new guy's sitting with $150, the guy that says his game's so small. And I wrote FML. And then I wrote, not really though. I got it pretty good. My life's pretty good. Much better than average of human beings that have lived and will live. So FML is not really true. But this guy, the new guy is saying he has a baby stack. And I'm thinking, oh shit, that's something I've said a lot in this podcast. I hope he's not a patron, because I don't know why. It's fine if he's a patron. And then they do a fucking rack count. God bless their souls at the Venetian. They do a rack count. And so you know what you're going to get. If you're an old school listener, you know you're going to get a rack count roll call. Seat one is the vlog watcher. It's the guy that moved to Vegas to retire, and he watches vlogs on his phone while he plays poker. Okay. And he's made many appearances in this podcast. Seat two is Adam Ant. And it's just a gentleman who does have ants in his pants. He's all over the place. He's playing erratic. He's talking erratic. He's erratic. He's Adam Ant. And he, ironically, in the old two seat was Lady Gaga. So that's the singer seat. Seat three is the chip shuffler. So he moved not to get position on me. He moved because he said the unfunny drunk guy, his breath was unbearable. And I believe him. And then we have the coolest fuck Asian young dude. And then the new guy, the unfunny drunk guy. And then a deep new guy from another game. And he's also a young chip shuffler. And then seat eight is your protagonist, Dragon Man. At the end of a Las Vegas trip, and I've made a bunch of these, but this one has taken a bite out of me. And that's okay. And it's the worst music combination at the Venetian. It's horrible. And it's like a Celine Dion power ballad. Like, you just don't, when you're like on fumes, you just can't, I can't handle that right now. Like, God bless Celine, great singer. I don't want to hear a fucking power ballad, if that's what that's called. Just like top of the lungs, like I don't want that right now. And the conversation's a little rough. It's fine. It's just, you know, it's time for me to go. But I can't, right? Because the game is getting short. When the game's shorthanded, I got to stay. And, well, it's not shorthanded now because people just from another game filled it up. But it's this time of night where it gets good. And there's, now I'm losing a lot. And the new guy opens and I 3-bet with King 10 just to clear out the riffraff, you know, buy the button, all the good old reasons to 3-bet. And he calls and it comes Jack 10-7. He checks, I check back, and the turn's an ace and he checks and I check back and the river is small or a small card and he checks and I bet tiny and he calls and he has ace X. So the deck is just not cooperating. The dealers must have had a meeting before this session and said, let's fuck this guy over. And you know, they're executing. And now this guy, the unfunny drunk guy who the other players thought was funny. So technically he's funny. I was tired. I don't find most humor funny anyways. I don't know what that is. It's a flaw. But he says, you know, he's looking for a hit and run. He got really lucky against the chip shuffler, and then he's won every pot against me. And he says, sorry, guys, duty calls, or should I say booty calls? And, you know, there's a level you could say that on that I think would be hilarious. I think he was just doing it on level one, which it's fine. People liked it. This God bless everyone, really, if you think about it. And good. Let's get this game shorter and shorter, please. Ace-7 of spades, and I call $50 because it's a multi-way end of the night. Let's go. Time to gamble, and fuck it. DJ, come back here. I need you to spin that shit. Tell them what I flopped when it was multi-way for $50 each. I got ace-7 of spades. You know it. Thank you. The new kid on the block, and he, am I right, the new kid that's deep and shuffling and also wearing a mask. You don't have to wear a mask, but some people choose to wear a mask. And I always scream at him, you do nothing, Dem. No, I don't. What happened? He keeps just winning all the money. Oh, sorry, not him. Fuck, I fucked that up. The new guy, you know, in his 50s, 0% body fat, hot girl. He'll show you a picture of plays big, but was sitting with 150. He keeps doubling up. Okay. And I'm playing stuck poker, as mentioned. And yes, the young shuffler is opening wide and making the best hand a lot. And he opens and gets shoved on by Adam Ant. And he opens and gets shoved on by Adam Ant, like a huge shove. And he has aces. That's a nice situation. And Adam Ant had God knows what. And he won. And this is a depressing hand. I don't like to be dark, but sometimes the story's dark and I have to tell it. I open with Queen Jack, $15, and the vlog watcher goes to 30. Oh, man. And they fold back to me and I call with Queen Jack. And the flop comes Jack 7 deuce. And it is rainbow. And I check. And he bets $60. So he min popped me and now he's potting it. Well, I have top pair, good kicker. Do I think I'm good? Probably not. But I'm going to call just in case I bink a jack or a queen, right? And I don't know, you just have to call once. And I call, and the turn is a 7, so that's a great card for him. And I check, and he bets 300. And I don't know what the fuck he's doing. His line makes no sense, and no one's line makes sense very often. And he just has a big hand, and I just fold. And then the next hand, it's unopened, and he goes in the tank. Unopened, you go in the tank, he goes in the tank, and folds, and then racks up, and he's gone. And this guy's a nice guy. And I have Queen Jack again, $25 four ways, and I once slept with a nun. And I'm not kidding. Do I have time for this? Of course I have time for this. I'm going to play you the song they put on now. Keep in mind, I'm low on sleep. My stomach has been in pain for 3 days. I had heat stroke or something like that 2 days ago. I've been drinking and staying up all night and getting in fights at the Bellagio. And yeah, and this is the end of the trip. And this is a song that comes on at like 2 a.m. Yeah. DJ, you like this song? When you're playing poker? When you're hungover? At the end of a trip? Check this out. It's good poker music. Fuck. And you're 47 years old. And you can't win a hand? All night long? And the Jazz fucking punted it off? Yeah. Do it again. Come on. Who do you want to dance? Tell us. All right, so I had to do that, even though I'm running. I don't know how much time, but that came on just like that, right? But louder, right? And that's real, man. That's Venetian. And that's why no one good ever plays there. Because they value their sanity. Luckily, I don't have any sanity. It's not a big deal to me. Everybody dance now. We're five-handed. And so there's only five of us dancing. No, but I can't win a fucking hand. And the new guy opens. He opens the 35. He's doubled up his 150. He's got some money now. Not a lot. But he opens the 35, which is... You know, that's what Doug Polk tells you to do. Just open the 7X. And this new chick, who I love, she's drinking Hennessy. I think she went to the wrong table. I think she wanted the 1-2 or 1-3 game, whatever it is. And she came to our game and said, fuck it, I'll play with these idiots. And she looks like she's on 1-2. She looks like me, except she's a black woman, right? But we're kindred spirits, right? And she's drinking Hennessy. I'm drinking Jameson, and anyways, she calls the 35, and I have ace-queen offsuit, and I just call, because 35 is a lot of dollars when it's 3-5, the game's 3-5, and the flop comes, no, it comes queen-4-3, I flopped a fucking top-top, and that's great, and I check, and you know, because I'm trappy, I'm old school, I'll fucking trap you. Right, and the new guy who bought him for 500, even though he plays big, and then ran it down to 150, and he's been running it up now. He checks. He opened for $35, and she goes all in for 250. Right, and I love this woman. Right, and I give it a little fake 8-second Hollywood job, and I say, okay, I'll call. And he calls too, and he's got $150 behind. So his line is pretty. This is like a high roller bull, this hand. What happened was I posted the big blind and I didn't leave because the game was just too good. And he opens to 35. That's 7X. And she's drinking Hennessy. She's this awesome. She's me in a black woman's body. And she calls and I call. I just call with ace-queen because 35 is huge. You know, 7X is huge. And I flop queen-4-3. Good. I check. He checks. She goes all in for 250. I give it a fake. Okay. I guess I call. And he calls immediately with $150 behind. I don't know what he's doing. The turn's a 6. Queen-4-3-6. And I said, I'm all in. Right? We're putting that 150 in. Let's fucking go. And he snap calls. And we turn over our hands. I have ace queen, as mentioned. I have top top. She has pocket nines. She's going to need a nine. And he has ace king. He opened for $35 with ace king. And I forgot people still do this. And he needs a king, unfortunately for him. So he has three outs. She has two outs. I have the rest. So there's five, you know, about 90%, right? And I have to fade three kings and two nines. And the river is a 6. Oh, good. So I just won a nice pot. I just won all of the new guy's money, which was... You know, he started the hand with 435 and she started with 285 and I was not proud of how I played it. I played it as you're supposed to play it, but I was proud of is that I stayed despite being so tired and needing to get sleep. I sacrificed myself for my job and, you know, they're playing everybody dance now and like, I'm like, fuck it. I'm staying until 3 o'clock. Right. And then I start whiffing again, but I really needed that one. And it's, you know, it was the first good thing that's happened in the session, I think, in both parts, really. And then there was $500 in the middle and a nice bloater. I had 5-4 suited and 6-5 deuce, and the turn was a brick. And then I had to fold again. I felt like the person had a set, and it was three ways. And then my kindred spirit drinking Hennessy, she rebought for 300. That's the minimum, and she had 200 or maybe 180, and I stacked her again, and then the game broke. And played for 6 hours total, two before that 5-hour break, and then four after, and I only lost a life. And I ran really poorly overall, and the best thing I did was stay when I was losing my mind. When they're playing, everybody danced now, and the conversation was rough, and I just, you know, that's where I've made all my money in my career shorthanded. And yeah, so now come with me to cash out real quick if you don't mind, and then we'll just walk over to the sports book here, the Venetian, and we'll check the STP scores. All right, thank you. Here's $1. Okay, now walk with me over to the sports book right beyond this blurry glass partition. Okay, here we are. Okay, see up there where it says NBA in big letters, and you can see right below that the Jazz choked. And next to that, you see the NHL, and you can see the Knights lost. Well, next to that, see the STP up there? Okay, that's what we're going to focus on. The first line under STP says hours, 260 of 250. And that means the pace is 250 and we're at 260. And 260 is correct, because we had 247 hours after week 24, and I played 13 more in week 25. 6 in the unfortunate session you just heard about, and 7 in the first session I played this week. A fun, but also pretty toxic at times session of 5-10, and usually 5-10-20, and sometimes 5-10-20-40 at the Bellagio. And if you want to hear about that crazy session at the Bellagio, and really all 700 or so drops of sessions whenever you want, you can do so by getting your own RSS feed at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer for $4.22 a month or more. It's just a really easy process, all of it. Signing up on Patreon and then hooking up that RSS feed. And there are instructions. You just go to the posts on Patreon, which you can view once you become a patron. And then, yeah, if you want to join the community, DGAF community as well, that's easy. You just go to DGAFcommunity.com and you create a password or a login and a password. And the moment your first payment goes through, you're active. Okay. Let's look at the second line. The second line under STP says poker rags 592 of 460. So the pace is 460, and we're way above that. And that's great. And we didn't have a huge week in week 25, but let's see who scored for us and who the MVP was and who got employee of the week. Okay, so Oliver in Edina, Minnesota, got us a point. Thank you very much, Oliver. And Oliver also got a nice item of clothing. Okay, now Patron Chili Dog in Vista, California, got 3 points. Thank you very much, Chili. And 3 points is the minimum you can have to be the weekly MVP. And Chili was actually poised to be the MVP for this week. The weekend's on Sunday, the way I do the accounting. I'm sorry, the way the Nevada Gaming Commission does the accounting. But then I just put a little message out there on Slack that this would be a good week for people to try and get the MVP themselves. And the next person came close, and that was one time. Another patron in Bakersfield, California, got us 4 points. Thank you very much, one time. Got some cool stuff to wear that's going to make people smile. It just does. Our shit makes people smile. And it cultivates good games and creates action. All the stuff you want in poker and in life. And now it's time to hear about who got MVP. MVP. your week 25 most valuable purchaser from Chicago is none other than Patron, the ex-singer, with 9 points. That's very strong. Thank you very much, the ex-singer. And the ex-singer actually had 2 orders in this week. And if you have 2 orders 1 week, the Nevada Gaming Commission adds them together. And that's quite the order, and very much appreciated by all of us at Poker Rags. And that's 17 points total for the week. So it was a very slow week. It was only going to be 4 points. Put a little message out there, and we got 13 more from patrons from two, from one time, and the ex-singer. And under Employee of the Week, you can see up there it says DGAF, and it says drives sales. And that's true. I do drive sales. I've been the force behind most of our sales in our, we've only been around a few years. But not only have I come up with some good designs, but I've pushed them, right, in creative ways, which if you're a content producer out there and you want to do the same thing, you can, right? You got to come up with something good, some good branding, and you got to push it in your content. And it's not cheesy. It's you can just be creative, and you can have a scoreboard or give shout outs or whatever it is, or you can have channels on your, you can have a Poker Rags channel on your Slack or the equivalent for you. And yeah, so that's nice that the Nevada Gaming Commission recognized that. And this company needs to go much further than just me driving the sales. And it is. It's starting to. We need to reach people that never heard of my wild podcast. But I don't know. It's nice to get recognized. So, Employee of the Week. All right. And here my mom said I'd never amount to anything. No. Okay. Thank you to everyone. All four of you who put points on the board this week. And you got some nice shit, and you did your part in, you know, hopefully there will be a season 5 of Sessions next year. And if you listening would like to become part of the story too, that's, you literally are, you know, by putting points on the board to hopefully keep this thing going. And or you just want the most comfortable clothing on the planet. It really is. It's, we choose, so we print, we have a choice of what we print on. We always print on the most comfortable stuff because poker players light money on fire anyways, so might as well be comfortable when you do it. And no, you stay up all night. You need comfortable shit. It doesn't matter if it's a little more expensive than the cheap shit. And yeah, if you want that, and you, like I said, you want it to make people smile and you want to feel good, well, just go to pokerags.us and just go fucking crazy. Live your life. Yeah. And anything from Sessions, you get 2 points on the board. And that includes the Cine design, the Nothing design. And you remember, she said she's coming back as soon as 10 more items are ordered. 10 more Nothing items. And I'm not sure what the count is on that at this point. But she wants to come back. Me and Sound Guy want her to come back. DJ Melody needs to head back. I guess he's made up with his girlfriend. And honestly, he drank all my beer. So, I don't know. Yeah, let's talk about the third score under STP. Okay, look up there. It says results 66 of 51. So we didn't score any points this week. That means we won a session and we lost one. And since we lost the one I just talked about, that means we won the one at Bellagio. And that puts us at 36 and 14 through 50 sessions. So the goal is to play 100 sessions this year. And we're 36 and 14, halfway through. 72% win rate. We'll take it, right? It would be nice if it was bigger games and more money, but sometimes you got to focus on the positives. Okay, and now look, there's only 2 more scores, and then we'll get the fuck out of here. The 4th score under STP, you can see it up there. It says Patron's 208 of 250. So the pace is 250 points at this point, this halfway point in the story. And yeah, and you get 4 points for every new patron, and you lose 4 points for every patron that quits. And we're at 208. We're pretty far off pace, but this was actually a good week. We got 16 points in this week, and let's hear how. Captain Baldbeard signed up. I apologize. My phone. I have a sound guy that, you know, he's a good guy and he means well. And, you know, we all go through stages where we're just not totally tuned in at work. And it's kind of what's been going on. What? Sound? Okay. So anyways, let's hear who signed up. Captain Baldbeard signed up with a straddle. So got 4 points on the board, became a patron, can be a member of the community if he wants, and he already is. And what else? And so he's on Slack and on the forum, and he's going to be coming to meetups. And, oh, yeah, he gets all those 700 or so drops of sessions. Same thing for Uno Mas. Came with a straddle. So you come in, and you're supporting the podcast, and also you get endless content. I mean, 700 and count. Like, I don't know exactly how many there are, but more are coming every week. And the community's pretty sick. The meetups are insane. It's worth it for the meetups only, and they're all over the place now. And thank you, Captain Baldbeard and Uno Mas and 23s. So I wonder if this person is alluding to the last couple weeks of sessions or 2 weeks ago when I talked about Jordan and LeBron. Not sure, but thank you, 23s, for coming in. And same rules apply. You get all those. You get all that content, and you get that community, and you get that good feeling inside. The same thing that Nap and Crash gets. And that's a solid name. Nap and Crash. I like that. And came in with a straddle. So 4 more points in access to Slack and the forum and meetups and all the content. Okay. So 16 points is a good week for us. We're just so far behind from other weeks, but you got to look at the bright side, right? And so, yeah, let's just talk about the last score. The fifth and final score. You guys can see it if you look up there, but I'm just, you know, I like to narrate it. Yeah, and it's a consolidation of the other 4 scores we just talked about. And it's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we get 2,022 points total on this board by December 19th of this year, well, then Sessions lives on in the year 2022. And that'll give me, you know, a couple weeks or a little less to get my shit together for a season 5. And this one says 1126 of 1,011. So 115 points ahead of pace. And that's good. It halfway through, it looks like we're going to make it. But anything could change. I could start losing. Poker Eggs has been a little slow. Yeah, and Poker Eggs has been the main scorer. And, yeah, so it looks good, but we ain't safe yet. And anyways, we definitely need more patrons. And before we say our goodbyes here and get the fuck out of the Venetian, I want to give a very special thanks to everyone who has put points on this board this year, right? It's a make or break season. I do love podcasting. I want it to be my career, but I also need to be, it needs to make sense, right? You can't be in debt forever and spending all your time on a project that's not going to help you get out of debt. And we'll see if it does, right? That's what the scoreboard's all about. If we get to 2022, well, then I know it's worth it. And I try it again next year and we have bigger goals, right? So I want to thank all of you and especially want to thank all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something. And I will see all of you patrons on Monday and the rest of you on Thursday for the new tattoo drops. That's what week 26 is called, new tattoo. And, oh yeah, whether you are a patron or not, whether you listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts, just like Lady Gaga did when I had Kings. I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.